The Natural Nurse with Ellen Kamai and Dr. Z, Mondays at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome, folks, to another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z, Dr. Eugene Zampro, naturopathic physician, professor of naturopathic medicine here at the University of Bridgeport, and your host for today for a fabulous program of health, wellness, and issues in alternative medicine. Now, today we have a very interesting Dr. Simon Yu, and, you know, some doctors come along and they really just kind of don't, they know holistic medicine at the surface, but, you know, you can really see through it, especially myself as a trained naturopathic doctor. I can assess people and their knowledge and wisdom. Well, after reading Dr. Yu's book, which is called Accidental Cure, Extraordinary Medicine for Extraordinary Patients, I soon realized that Dr. Yu is certainly a visionary in his field. Eastern medicine philosophy merges with Western medical science in this book, which explains paradigm-changing curing of many diseases by addressing the five principal underlying cause of diseases, which Dr. Yu will discuss in a second when we bring him on. Dr. Simon Yu was born in Korea and spent most of his life in the U.S. He's a leading medical doctor and clinician who's learned to use energy medicine and biometric diagnostic techniques. His therapy is based on acupuncture and meridian assessment, as well as supporting the immune system by balancing the body's biochemistry, which we call the terrain, and supporting the immune system, and also something called biocybernetics, which he's going to talk about. It's a branch of quantum physics which looks at biophotons. So, without further ado, Dr. Yu, are you there?
Yeah, Dr. Z.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Yeah,
well, listen.
When I
read your book, I was really impressed by all the things that you were looking at here. This is a very deep book for the listeners here, which discusses so many different aspects. Why'd you call it Accidental Cure?
Well, because I kind of stumbled into it. That's why I call it accidental cure. When you start correcting the underlying problem, people get well, whether, you know, whatever your diagnosis is. And one of the major turning points is actually I was using parasite medication after I came back from Bolivia for my U.S. Army peacekeeping mission. And all of a sudden, this impossible cases start disappearing.
And you wonder why people who eat really well and they exercise, they have a great attitude, they take supplements, and some people still are sick. And I know you address that in the first chapter, Accidental Cure. You feel that things are out of balance in medicine, that regular lab tests are not picking up the underlying issues. So can you go more into that?
Yeah, there's a major missing link. And one of the major five missing links I'm addressing in my book is regarding parasite problem and how to eliminate those hidden parasite problem, about the hidden dental problem, heavy metal toxicity and other environmental toxicity, and nutritional support and hidden food allergy problem. And the key is how to detect those hidden problems. This is where I've been using this called acupuncture meridian assessment to detect where the hidden problem is.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Now, you know, energy medicine is considered still, in by some circles, kind of like, I don't know if you're a fan of Star Trek or ever watched Star Trek, Dr. Yu, but many of our listeners know what I'm talking about, where Surgeon McCoy, Dr. McCoy would scan the human body and find the imbalances in the illness with sophisticated devices. And, you know, we all see that in Hollywood and say, wow, I wonder if we'll ever be at that time where we could actually scan the body and figure out some of the illnesses. But what you're saying in your book is that that technology has been around for a very long time.
Not exactly the same technology, but same principle. Mm-hmm. That we can measure human energy field by measuring skin resistivity at the acupuncture point. That we can map out energy field, where the disturbance is, and you can balance them out. It's the same principle, but we don't have the true technology here from Star Trek.
So. Right. But what's interesting is when you look at this whole idea of looking at the terrain of the body, and we'll get more into biological terrain and biometric diagnostic techniques. But let's take a step back and talk about the big philosophical dichotomy in medicine, where certain people are more practice holism. And vitalism, and some people more mechanism and reductionism. And that started, you talk about in your book, with Beauchamp and Bernard versus Pasteur. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's a whole argument in, I guess, early 19th century, why do we get sick? And there's a one camp he's talking about is our terrain that make us sick. That's the Bernard and the Antoine Duchamp, and then there's another camp, which is Pasteur and the Koch from the French-German fighting over the germs is causing the disease, and there's a big argument that once we develop antibiotics and the disease disappears, so the whole argument is it must be the disease that's causing the disease, and the germs are causing the disease.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are seeing is now chronic disease that not responding to antibiotics. There's a change in terrain, the environment, that creating a condition while we're getting sick. So there's a whole new way we need to re-examine the whole process. Is this a germ or the environment, the terrain?
And what are some of these stressors that change people's terrain?
Well, nowadays, I guess number one cause will be probably emotional stress.
Mm.
Financial stress can be also a major problem. It can change your hormonal system, adrenal stress, but it can also cause change in your pH and electromagnetic field, geopathic disturbance, the food we eat, especially with the genetically modified food that we are eating, what we call Frankenstein food. You know, all those things keep adding up, you know.
Yeah.
We don't know the concept of what detox means anymore. And we have to learn how to clean detox, our kidney, liver, lymphatic system. The parasite is a major stress. And the people don't think about it. Hidden dental problem causes a major problem why we're not getting well. And physicians and medical doctors have no idea. We sent to the biological dentist, remove the fillings, but there is no improvement because it's only the part of the problem. The dental itself is such a huge subject that most physicians have no idea. And most dentists, even those biological dentists, only partially understand the implications of how dental create dental-related medical problems.
I know, and I love in your book you have a picture of the mouth and the teeth. And on page, 95 or so, and actually the energetic relationship between the teeth and the organs of the body, that every tooth crosses one or more of the meridians. And, you know, when I was at school at Bastyr, I've been out of school for many years from Bastyr University, naturopathic medicine. One of my roommates was a biological dentist, and I remember him telling me these types of things, that if you have problems with your teeth or your sinus or the pockets or bad root canals, that this could certainly be one of the genesis of the problem. So let's talk a little bit about the root canal, because I know there was a book called Root Canal Cover-Up, and I know you talk about that in the book quite extensively.
Right, by Georgie Manning. Mm-hmm. By Dr. Georgie Manning, talking about root canal cover-up.
What's wrong with the root canal? What actually happens when they do root canal? What happens? The teeth become very toxic and create an infective place where the bacteria and spirochetes can stay, and how does that affect the body?
Right. The root canal is usually referring to infected tooth. They're cleaning out the root and covered with these materials. Usually, a lot of time you have a heavy metal in it,
mm-hmm.
and assuming it is safe, but basically it's a dead tooth and have a profound physiological effects in the rest of the body. But they pulled all those knobs out, so you don't have to feel any pain. But there's infection there. It's usually multiple infections, and they will spread to a different part of your body. So often people hear about, after they get the root canal done, 6 months later, they develop arthritis. Or 1 year later, they have a heart attack, or stroke, or kidney problem, and they don't see the connection between the root canal and why they're having problem many months or years down the road. And this information is actually known for over 70 years.
Oh yeah, it's definitely well established in the literature. I actually did some literature searches and found quite a number of organisms in the mouth that can actually trigger autoimmune disease. So what you're saying is absolutely beyond just strep, because we used to think it was just the strep in the mouth that could cause, you know, rheumatic heart disease and damage the kidneys and valves. But you're mentioning many other pathogens that can cause problems in your book.
Right, the anaerobic infections and spirochete infections. You know, right now we have this called Lyme disease, and whenever we cannot explain what's going on, we say Lyme disease.
It's very big in Connecticut, Dr. Yu, here where I'm sitting right now at the University of Bridgeport. We see, and a lot of times I don't think that the people have Lyme disease. I think that they have all the obstacles to cure that you talk about in your book, and maybe they had Lyme disease once, but now all the antibiotics and other issues have created this subclinical, or what they call, I guess, Lyme, you call it something in your book, Lyme-related syndrome or chronic Lyme, or what do you call it?
Well, this is something that mimics just like a Lyme disease when you have a dental infections.
Right.
So the same microorganism is what called spirochete infections. So that's causing Lyme disease. And for dental infections from root canal to cavitations, when you do the Lyme antibody test and antigen test, they look at a very similarity to it, and they cannot differentiate it. So they assume it's a Lyme disease, and many times, over 50% of the time, it's a hidden dental infection. So I think there's a true Lyme disease, but also many mimicking like Lyme disease, what I call pseudo-Lyme disease or Lyme-like disease, that's actually caused by unrecognized dental infections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we use a lot of different anti-parasitic herbs in the practice here in the university to get rid of some of those underlying spirochetes, which we can talk to at another point. But let's go through another big problem, and you talk about this in your book, which is the heavy metals. Now, this is something that I don't even think that most of the mainstream doctors that we deal with actually even consider that the patient may have a high level of heavy metals in the body, which can be detected through the hair, the nails, through sometimes the urine. Oftentimes they'll just run like a blood test on these kids that have ADD, not realizing that the lead leaves the body within 30 days of an acute exposure and just gets stored deep in the tissue. So how does looking for heavy metals play a role in your practice in helping chronically ill people?
Yeah, almost any chronically ill patient usually have hidden heavy metal problem. the two most common heavy metals is lead and mercury, but sometimes I will see cadmium, tungsten, tin, and there are some of those dyes from these medical contrast, like gadolinium, or there are different kind of toxic metal we'll see. A lot of time I'll see arsenic, and you know, sometimes uranium I'll see in my patients. But unless we do some other ways and means and blood tests, because we are, as a physician, as an MD, we always look for blood tests looking for heavy metals, but it's looking at the wrong place. They're in our soft tissues, in our organ system, and in our bone. And we have to use chelating agent to provoke how much heavy metal is coming out of body. Not only we need to find out what kind of heavy metals, but also how much is coming out. It's crucially important to make a plan for what to do with this patient.
I remember a study where they actually took the baby teeth of 5-6-year-old children living in the inner city, and they sent the baby teeth to the laboratory, and they ground up the baby teeth, and lo and behold, they found tremendous amounts of lead in stored in the teeth of that person, and yet these very students had no blood lead issues. It just goes to show you that you're absolutely right, that these metals get stored within the other matrix of the body and often displace healthy minerals. Why are the heavy metals, I mean, it might sound like a silly question, but why are heavy metals so damaging to the body?
Well, if you look at the cellular level, it blocks so many enzymatic reactions because they require the core minerals as an enzyme function, and heavy metal blocks it. So classic example will be conversion of the T4 to T3 for thyroid function to function at an optimal level. But mercury is notorious to block the conversion process of T4 to T3. So these people have a normal hormonal levels, yet symptoms mimicking just like somebody with an underactive thyroid. So we do the blood test, and just everything is fine. But when you do heavy metal tests, when you do hair analysis or checking our body basal temperature, they mimic exactly like somebody with an underactive thyroid. Mm-hmm. But we say you are normal because the blood test is normal, and that's because of the heavy metal creating that hormonal problems. It affects our metabolism, affects our immune system, it affects us psychologically, it affects our depression, memory loss, brain fog. The list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
So unless you do the test, we don't know.
Now, what about parasite tests, Dr. Yu? Like we all, most people think that, you know, just the parasites live in the intestine, and a simple O&P, for those listening out there, ova and parasite times three tests is sufficient enough to find the parasites. What's your take on that?
You know, I haven't done any stool test for parasite for over 15 years. Because even if you feel clinically suspicious and do the test, many times it doesn't show. You know, I've been doing this electrodermal screen, which I like to call it acupuncture meridian assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And when I check, there's a major change in energy pattern when I put on parasite medication. So I know we are missing a lot more than we may think. So it's another epidemic problem that we overlook. After I came back from Bolivia for U.S. Army peacekeeping mission in year 2001, I've been expanding with this parasite medication, and all of a sudden I can balance this acupuncture meridian so quick, so fast. I just couldn't believe it.
Right. And it's more than just the, you know, classic parasites that we think of, Giardia and amoeba, entamoeba, histolytica, things like that. You're actually talking about, you know, flukes and other types of worm-type organisms. And you recommend several different teas and other botanicals that can be helpful for the parasites in the various stages. I guess that's the problem, is you need to know how long to treat people for parasites, because they can go into different stages. They can go into cystic forms that resist the... So just giving them antiparasitics that are herbs is really just missing the boat, because you're not really dealing with the terrain. You're just using herbs like in an allopathic way. You following me?
Right. And natural herbs are not strong enough for somebody who's been chronically ill for 20, 30 years.
Right.
I don't like to use prescribed medication, but I do use prescribed parasite medication. And I've been doing this for the last 10 years, and one of the things I learned is you have to use much higher dose than what the PDR recommended, the standard dose. And you have to use often combination of the parasite medication, because people have more than one kind of parasite, but multiple parasites. And you have to cycle them 2-3 different times. And sometimes you have to follow the cycle for the moon cycle, like a full moon. They're very active. They're trying to hatch. Or sometimes some of them are active in new moon. So you have to follow those moon cycle to get rid of this parasite medication for the parasite. And I always combine with the herbal and homeopathic parasite remedies at the same time.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about how diet plays a huge role. And you find that chemicals in the food, and you have an extensive list here in your about one page 156 in your book here, Accidental Cure. By the way, if you're just joining us, we have Dr. Simon Yu on as our illustrious guest here, combining Eastern medical philosophy, Western medical science, and of course his very interesting idea of balancing body chemistry, which is called the biological terrain, looking at sort of the body as a quantum physics, not looking at the body like a chemist, but more as a physicist, a biophysicist, and looking at exploring this very interesting connection here. And so, back to the program. Tell us a little bit about the dyes and preservatives that we've heard about this from back in the 70s with Dr. Feingold. I remember even some of my friends were on the Feingold diet. I think he was one of the first ones to talk about this.
That is correct. I mean, we have over 2,000 chemicals added to our food right now. And some of them are highly allergenic. Some people cannot tolerate those food dyes, and some of them are actually carcinogenic.
Is it cheaper for companies to put this garbage into the food, or what do you think is the reason?
Probably has a lot to do with the shelf life,
yeah.
So, you know, one of my articles talking about the ingredient, you know, strawberry milkshake, they have no strawberries, and there's no milk. It's all chemicals.
I can see that in the book here. There's names here, folks, that you could not even pronounce. And so that's kind of our bottom line, is if you can't pronounce the word, you certainly shouldn't put it in your mouth, including several very toxic compounds, all in the name of science and technology with our food. What about the GMOs, Dr. Yu?
Oh, that's a big topic. It's a little bit scary. You know, I'm from St. Louis. We have a headquarter, Monsanto headquarter, 2 miles away from my practice.
It's Monsanto, right?
Yeah. And sort of a too big topic for me to really address, but it's such a controversial, politically charged. And the bottom line is we don't know the consequence 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the road.
Well, we know the consequence of a few things. Like, for instance, I know some of these companies were responsible for putting out aspartame probably about 30 years ago or so, 25 years ago, around 1980 or so. And we can see the long-term effects of aspartame on the brain as a neurotoxin or excitotoxin, like Dr. Blaylock calls it, and the effect of these things. But you're right, we don't know about the GMO, but we have a feeling that, maybe it will certainly cause harm to our bodies and certainly to people eating it. So, you know, we're not sure, but certainly probably it wouldn't be a good idea to make that a huge part of our diet until we know more, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, and also I see for the last 15 years, people have a more and more food allergy problem. And is it something to do with the GMO or not? You know, you can never be sure, but definitely see the pattern for the last 15 years. People seem to have more and more food allergy problems.
Now, when you talk about food allergies, just to clarify that for the listeners, there's a difference between people reacting to foods in the classical way, where an allergist will run the skin test and what they call an IgE skin test, and what you're talking about as far as reactions to food. Can you educate people about that a bit?
Yeah, the test ID is called IgG, Allergy Test for Delayed Hypersensitivity. So people don't have a classic allergic reaction like when you eat peanut and having anaphylactic reaction. That's what we call immediate reactions. But delayed response, you cannot guess. So I have one professor from Boston came to see me with a very unusual eczema in his hand. And when I checked for the allergy test, he's highly allergic to broccoli and sugar. I mean, he's a professor from Boston. He knows broccoli is good for you. So he eats broccoli at least 4 times a week. And when he's not feeling well, he eats, guess what? He eats more broccoli. But that created what's called chronic allergic reaction, manifests into, in his case, as an eczema. Another person might be headache or malaise of unexplainable phenomenon or aches and pain. So when we eliminate the broccoli and sugar, it took him 3 months for his eczema to start clearing. It took 6 months to clear all his eczema.
So here's some music, so that means we need to take a break, Dr. Yu. Stay with us, please, and if you're listening again, stay with us right here on Progressive Radio, and we'll be back with more of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
To the Progressive Radio Network, celebrating 5 years of independent points of view.
Listen to Of Consuming Interest every Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Jim Turner, attorney in Washington, D.C., chairman of the board of Citizens for Health. Every Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, we discuss a topic of consuming interest, often about health, but also about politics, commerce, and whatever the current topic of the day might be. Of Consuming Interest, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, on the Progressive Radio Network.
Every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join the founders of the Godspeed Institute for Spiritual Learning, Carol and Michael Hallenbeck, for Godspeed, an enlightening and informative journey into the world's religions and spiritual belief systems. Through conversations with experts worldwide, this weekly live call-in program is an on-air classroom aimed at helping listeners gain exposure to and insight into religious and spiritual practices around the world. Every Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Is a state of emergency. It's not. It's more of a state of urgency. I'm Danny Schechter. I'm your news dissector. I'm on the radio Fridays at 1 p.m. right here on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, offering a different narrative to the news, challenging what we're hearing, what we're seeing, what we're reading, offering another way of understanding what's going on. Join me online on MediaChannel.org and join me here on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com Fridays at 1 p.m. Be there or be square.
Every
Ever wonder why some people have successful lives? Well, let's shrink about this. Hi, I'm Dr. Molly Barrow, author of Matchlines for Singles and the Malia and Teacup Self-Esteem Building Series for Children. Please join me and my guests every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to explore psychological and practical problem solving, from personal issues to world events. You can call in to join the conversation or just enjoy listening. If you're looking for balance in your relationship, career choices, family, and your planet, please join Dr. Molly Barrow and Shrink About This Tuesday at 10 Eastern on www.progressiveradionetwork.com.
You are listening to the Progressive Radio Network, your number one source for progressive commentary.
And we're back with more of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Eugene Zamperone, your host for this program. And again, we have Dr. Simon Yu. He's the author of Accidental Cure, Extraordinary Medicine for Extraordinary Patients. Great book. Dr. Yu, I wanted to go back more to the biometric diagnostic techniques, biocybernetics, and talk more about the biophysics that you've discussed, and try to make it understandable for people out there that might not understand this, or may even be a little skeptical of figuring out someone's energetics or diagnosing them through bioenergetics. So I know you started out being kind of, you know, skeptical of this type of thing. And how did you actually get interested in helping people with this technology?
Well, actually, I went to attending a dental conference sponsored by Dr. Cook from Wisconsin, and he talks about dental medical relationship and measuring with this what people call electrodermal screening test, which I like to call it acupuncture meridian assessment. I think technically that's more correct term. And I realized I can see things that I couldn't see before. So one of my topics is called Curing the Incurable by Measuring the Immeasurable by Western Science. And that's the concept of biocybernetics has been mapped out by ancient society called Qi and Prana, the acupuncture system and meridian system. And so it hasn't already mapped out. With our modern science, we can actually measure the actually electrical current, the resistivity, to see whether our system is running properly or not.
So when you look at the body like this, you realize that sometimes we have this idea, and medicine has this idea that, you know, the body. I use the analogy of billiard balls. It's like the way we learn organic chemistry. You know, that the body runs through molecules and biochemistry and neurotransmitters, but it's all looking things at the chemical level. You're looking things beyond the chemical level. You're looking at things through photons and oscillations and understanding the dual nature of particles, sort of like the things we learned in physics.
That is correct. And Dr. Pop, he's a biophysicist from Germany, talks about how cells communicate by photons. And he measured these photon particles emanating from living tissue. And he's one of the pioneers in this whole field of what we call biocybernetics and energy medicine. For him, as a biophysicist, PhD in physics, measuring this actual the phenomenon, the energetic system, how photons communicating cell to cell. Because there's no way 100 trillion cells can communicate instantaneously except through the photons by energetic field.
That's a very interesting point. You're right, because the cells do seem to and do communicate very, very rapidly. And the understanding through just the nerve or the conventional idea of the nerves and the sodium, potassium, ATPase pumps and all of the things we learned about in chemistry doesn't seem to explain how the information gets immediately looked at. Now, one thing about that is you looked at the acupuncture and you talk about it like a violin string. So you're using the idea of oscillations. Can you talk about how that plays into the theory?
Yeah, you know, every living system have its own frequency and oscillation. And when we die, this oscillation gradually disappears. And this acupuncture system talks about meridian, the major meridian system, the 12 meridian system, and governing vessels and the conception vessels. All those are part of the ancient system talking about bio-cybernetic matrix. It's been mapped out for us. We don't have to reinvent. But with this, the ohm meter, the way we can measure electrical current, and actually acupuncture point, we can see how our patient is responding to therapy or what the problem is.
Now, do you think that it's, and I know that they have devices like this, that we can then figure out not only the disharmony in the frequency, but what frequency we can generate to bring the body back into harmony without physical medicines? I mean, you know, it kind of goes both ways. We can use these devices to look at people's imbalances, and I don't use the word diagnosis because I know that kind of can be fairly good information or good fodder for other medical establishments to come after people. But, you know, so we look at looking at the harmony of the body and looking at the various paths and things like that. But there are devices that actually can rebroadcast the information to bring the body back into harmony. Now, you generally try to remove the obstacles to cure with removing the different therapies, getting rid of parasites, detoxification we talked about. We talked about the dental infections and the food allergies. We didn't talk much about nutrition and diet, and then I'd like to, in the last 15 or so minutes, maybe you can go over some very difficult cases that you've been able to clear up using your treatment protocols.
Yeah, you know, most people are fairly tuned to basic concept of the diet and nutrition, so I don't spend too much time on that part. But one of the most difficult cases I deal with is, as a physician, is not recognizing hidden dental problem, how it affects why people develop chest pain, why they have a kidney problem, why they may have a lupus or a rheumatoid arthritis might be from hidden dental problem. And the other major topic is hidden parasite problem causing so many unexplainable problems. I can give you some examples.
Yeah, that sounds good. And then also, I'd like you to talk about how you would clear up these dental issues for patients
sure.
out there.
Now, for just give an example, there's a patient comes from Iowa with a 35-year history of asthma. It's not just a mild asthma, it's a life-threatening asthma, go in and out of the hospital. And I treat her twice with the parasite medications. It affects her lung and her large intestinal meridian. Once you clear them out, those parasites, the asthma clears up. I have a patient with what we call atypical asthma, from parasite medication, and one patient actually coughing up the actual parasite, the dead parasite, coming out. That she couldn't breathe. Somebody was like choking her neck.
Wow.
Once the parasite came out, she can breathe again. I see so many what we call asthma or lung-related problems, bronchiectasis. Even some of them are considered lung cancer with the tumors, sometimes disappears.
I had a case very similar to that recently with a lady that they discovered stachybotrys mold in her body. Finally, contractors tore apart her bathroom and isolated the source of her infection, but she also went to, you know, top cancer centers thinking that it was cancer when it actually was mold infestation of the lungs.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So we see that these opportunists, but you know, then you think, well, in a healthy body, would actually these organisms take hold? It gets back to the whole idea of the terrain and how do we stay healthy. So what are some tips that you would give to our listeners about maybe staying healthy in this polluted world? Should they periodically, first of all, they certainly should go to a doctor like yourself or someone that's tuned into these things. But for the folks that maybe want to read your book and try some things out maybe before they seek out some medical advice, would you recommend doing some cleanses or what would be your advice to these folks?
Oh, sure. I think it's a good idea. If I remember this, all naturopathic doctors usually do cleansing twice a year.
Yes.
Especially for parasite cleansing. You know, using classic wormwood, black walnut, club oil. Sometimes they use castor oil as a purging as a means to get rid of the parasite. I think it's a good idea at least twice a year. I just, you know, because you can get the finest nutrition in the world, but if you have a parasite, it doesn't do you any good.
Yeah.
That's why I don't spend too much on nutrition right away. I usually talk about it later on because when you have a parasite, you can get the best vitamins and minerals and all the organic food. It's not going to do you any good.
So what do you see when people have these parasites? I know it can mimic many different illnesses, but do you see that they can't absorb many of their minerals and they have problems with absorption? Or how do the parasites manifest?
I call them feeding the parasite. You can get the best vitamins and minerals and nutrition to feed a parasite.
So the parasite gets healthy, but you don't.
That's right. So, you know, then they got the idea, you know, they go through the cleansing. And that is one of the fast ways to turn people around. I have several cases of an MS patient. The brain lesion documented by MRI from parasite medications, and the brain lesion disappears.
Yeah, there's a lot to that, and certainly also establishing normal circulation. There's some doctors looking at establishing normal circulation for the MS patients, and that seems to be helping them too. A couple other patients. Now, of course, my focus is in rheumatology. So any words of advice as far as, or any interesting autoimmune cases? I have a lady with Sjogren's syndrome recently that came into my office. Have you had any experience with that?
A few cases. I have one lady who had the Sjogren's. She cannot bend her fingers.
Right.
There were like 12 amalgams. And I told her to remove the fillings, and she thought I'm crazy. And she never came back to see me. And she called me 1 year later. One of her silver filling came up. The amalgam came up. And she was able to, one of the finger able to move. And she saw the connection between maybe the dent has anything to do with Sjogren's. And she removed all those her fillings, and her lung pulmonary function improved, and her residuary improved, and you know, whole function improved. That's one example.
Yeah, but some folks say that the mercury is more a problem with the fish consumption because it has more of the organic mercury than the fillings, although I think both of them certainly are very critical to deal with, but certainly you wouldn't advocate the patients eating a lot of fish when they have the mercury toxicity as well.
Right. I tell them usually limit to no more than once or twice a week and avoid big fish like tuna, swordfish that are known to have a high concentration of the mercury. And the mercury from fish are not as bad as elemental mercury coming from silver fillings, like from amalgams. Because usually with the fish, this mercury is bound with a protein, and they usually come out of your hair.
So yeah.
You'll see in the hair analysis, but elemental mercury that coming from silver fillings, they do not come out of your hair. Unless you do chelating agent to provoke your body, it will not show.
Right. So most of the mercury we're seeing in the hair analysis would be from the fish and not the fillings.
Right.
Unless some of that mercury is being converted into organic mercury by some of the organisms in the mouth, which I guess does happen to a small extent. But very interesting and fascinating. So
going back to your rheumatoid arthritis, so many of this rheumatism is caused by hidden dental infection. We talk about root canal, but also cavitation. This infection into your jawbone. That has been associated with so many autoimmune disease, rheumatism, lupus, and Sjogren's. So problem is you can send to biological dentist to get the root canal out, but if you have an infection down to your jawbone and if you don't have any other means to detect, you're not going to get better. And you assume dental work is done, but many times it's not done correctly. So you need a way to detect that there is a problem. As a physician, I need to know more than dentists to figure out what's going on and send them back again to give them the direction to get clean out the infected jawbone. That's a really important part of it.
So keeping that, getting that underlying, it makes sense if there's hidden infections. But then, the whole idea is, you find out that they have the infections. Getting the infections cleared up certainly is a combination of many things, getting the immune system strong, working with both natural and potentially synthetic, if necessary, antimicrobials, getting the minerals rebalanced, getting rid of toxic metals, which suppress the immune function. I mean, I think that's one, like with the Lyme disease, that's one thing that I noticed quite a bit is the patient can't even mount a good immune defense if they have the toxic metals, because many of these suppress the bone marrow, they suppress the splenic function, they suppress the thymus, and of course they can interact with the immune system at large.
I know. I have one patient from Arkansas came to see me with a Lyme disease. She went to Lyme specialist in Germany for 3 weeks with all kinds of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
With a slight improvement, when I checked, she got parasite problem, she got heavy metal problem, and she have a 7 root canals with a cavitations. And she'll never get well unless you're taking care of that, heavy metals and the root canals and cavitation and parasite cleansing. And she's getting better with addressing all those because she got a lot of complications from the dental problem. Once it is done, she will get well. But it was diagnosed as a Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm. So there's hope for those types of patients that don't seem to be getting well and are chronically ill and things like that.
Right, because they're missing the point somewhere along the line. It's not the Lyme, it might be something else. That's my book addressing the issues that we are missing the point and we are getting to what I call intellectual dead end and stuck with the antibiotics. And we don't know what to do after that.
That's right. That's right. And so it's great to see that folks like yourself, doctors like yourself, are merging the science and looking at paradigm-changing things. Dr. Yu, tell us where we can get your book before we sign off for the program.
Well, in my website at preventionandhealing.com, or you can just punch in Google Accidental Cure. We'll take you, or you can, Amazon.com also has my book available.
So, Accidental Cure, Dr. Simon Yu. Thanks a lot, Dr. Yu. I appreciate your great words and your wonderful work here.
Thank you.
And that does it for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z signing out for this segment. Stay healthy, folks. Bye-bye.